Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett, the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. He has searched far and wide for these titles, the films Never Gonna Snow Again, Pig, and Old. My work is done. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
I'm very curious about the old pig.
Well, it's not an old pig. It's actually, I think, a pig in the prime of life. But we'll get to the pig. Old is a separate movie, which has no pigs in it.
Okay.
But we will get to those in due course. Let us begin with Never Gonna Snow Again.
Which is my theme.
I should say that again.
It's my theme, because anyone who can guarantee that it's never going to snow again at my house is a friend of mine.
Yeah, I know it. Well, I know just what you mean. Snow is not always fun. Then again, you know, snow has its attractions sometimes. But in this case, Never Gonna Snow Again has a sort of almost a mythological or otherworldly kind of meaning, in a way, at least. This is a movie which is basically a Polish movie. In fact, it was Poland's submission for the last Academy Awards. And it's a very interesting movie, Never Gonna Snow Again. And it's about that the main character is a young man named Zhenya, who comes to Poland. He's actually from the East. You know, in movies and not just movies, literature, there's a long tradition of mysterious, often supernatural figures coming from the East. The old idea of the vampire coming from Transylvania into the rest of Europe or the New World. So anyway, he's from the East. He's from Ukraine, in fact, but he comes to Poland, and the very, very beginning of the movie introduces the very strange personality and perhaps powers of this Zhenya. He has to get permission, a sort of official permission, like a visa kind of a thing, to get into the country, into Poland, and he starts to give some sort of mysterious treatment, sort of almost kind of a mesmeric treatment, holding the head of this old official and telling him that the tension is going out of his body and he is going to rise. And the next thing you know, the official appears to be dead, and Zhenya stamps the form himself and is now in the country, where he turns out to be, yes, a masseur. That's what he does. He gives massages. And what we have over the whole course of the movie, Never Gonna Snow Again, is Zhenya going from one house to another in this particular area, actually. He doesn't actually range very far, giving massages to people and getting to know the people who he massages. Some of them are men, some of them are women, getting a little bit involved in their lives and having an effect of some sort, apparently, on each one. Now, this, again, is a very sort of old story. The idea that a mysterious stranger comes into town, and various people interact with that stranger, and each person is changed in some way. And that's basically what Never Gonna Snow Again is. It's a variation on that very old sort of story. The movie's been compared with, among many other things, it's been compared with the movie by the great Italian filmmaker Pier Paolo Pasolini called Teorema, where Terence Stamp plays a mysterious stranger who comes in and maybe an angel. In fact, well, it's possible that Zhenya is an angel, although we doubt if he's a very good angel because of what he does to that poor old immigration official at the very beginning of the movie. But he definitely has sort of strange powers. He claims to be able to speak every language that is known in Poland, and maybe he can. We hear some little samples of that along the way. But mainly, he just sort of goes around, gives his massages, talks to people, interacts with them, and again, affects their lives in various ways, large and small. So it's a very interesting and unusual sort of a movie. The title refers to this notion, which is only spoken three or four times in the movie, that maybe it's never going to snow again. Some people seem to think it's never going to snow again. And the reason for that, well, one of the things that's mentioned at the very beginning of this movie, apparently where this guy comes from, Zhenya, is the Chernobyl reason. So we're introduced at the beginning of the movie to sort of be thinking in the backs of our minds about maybe global apocalypse, the ill effects of nuclear power, the ill effects of climate change, the fact that if it's never going to snow again, maybe that's because the planet is heating up. Anyway, this kind of thing is suggested but never really spelled out. We're invited to think about it but never really told how we're supposed to think about it. Mainly what we have is this sort of semi-quasi-pseudo-supernatural figure going around talking with people and doing his little procedures, every once in a while we're reminded of the fact that the planet is changing, that the world is changing, that some of the things that are changing may be very bad, things like Chernobyl, things like climate change, and we're sort of, again, never told how to think about these things, even in terms of the movie, but we're invited to think about these things and that they may have some relevance to what is going on here. I found it a very interesting movie. It's deliberately mysterious, deliberately elliptical, where all the gaps are never filled in, and I like that kind of a movie. I wasn't exactly thrilled by Never Going to Snow Again, but I was constantly involved in it and really enjoyed it, and it's a beautiful looking movie with all kinds of wonderful, sometimes quite mysterious images, flashbacks, visions perhaps. So I really liked Never Going to Snow Again, and anybody who's in the mood for an unusual European film with some very interesting resonances, I would definitely recommend Never Going to Snow Again. Our second movie, this brings us so much down to earth. Our second movie has a very earthbound title. It is called Pig, and it is the first movie to be written and directed by Michael Sarnowski. And the big thing about Pig is that it stars Nicolas Cage. And what a lot of people are saying, and I think this is true, is his best performance in a very long time. Nicolas Cage, of course, is famous for his exceedingly over-the-top performances. He's one of these actors who just sometimes lets everything out, and sometimes lets everything out much too much, and sort of takes over and blows away the screen and blows away the audience and blows away everything else, and you sort of get really sick of it pretty soon. That said, he has been in his time every once in a while a really excellent actor, and Pig is it's quite a wonderful performance from Nicolas Cage. It's not a showy performance. In fact, it's a very restrained performance. His character does not really have a whole lot of lines of dialogue. He's really a very quiet character in a lot of ways. The character's name is Rob, but Cage plays him very well, and this is the character has a great big beard, and through most of the movie has a lot of scars and sort of blood on his face and his head. Cage gets to give a very physical performance, which he likes doing, but it's not an especially verbal performance, and in that respect, it's kind of an interesting balance that Nick Cage has to strike, and I think he strikes it quite well. So what is the movie Pig about? Yes, you guessed it. Rob, our main character, owns a pig, and he is a truffle hunter. This may be something that's happening in the movies these days. Just last year, there was a movie called The Truffle Hunters, which was a very nice movie and a very different kind of movie than this. And it also had, in that case, it was dogs that were seeking out truffles. But, of course, pigs apparently have this great skill for seeking out truffles. And Rob is a truffle hunter way up in Oregon, near Portland. And he has his pig, and the pig goes out and finds the truffles. And once a week, Rob gets a visit from a dealer named Amir, who comes and buys his truffles. And we see very early an interaction between Rob and his buyer, Amir. And Amir is trying to say nice things and be a nice fellow and have a nice day, and Rob won't even say hello to him, won't even say goodbye to him, just takes the money, hands over the truffles, and that's the end of that. So we can see right away that Rob, for a guy who lives out in the middle of the woods with his pigs and just hunts truffles, he is a very antisocial, or at least asocial type of a guy. Then what happens, and this is not a spoiler because it's one of the first things that happens in the movie, Rob's pig gets kidnapped or pignapped. So that's it. Okay, tragic thing. Rob loves his pig. He can't hunt his truffles and make his living without his pig. Well, he could get another pig, but no, he loves this pig. So he enlists Amir to come and help him find his pig. They're going to find the pig. So they start going around, where are you going to look for a pig in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest? Well, it turns out that both of them have a lot of connections, which make this quest not completely aimless. Rob really knows the area, and we find out that once upon a time, he really had dealings in the city. He was a chef. He really had a real career for himself in all this. And Amir is very connected with the truffle circuit. So they go around looking for the pig, and this brings them to all kinds of weird, strange places, some of them out in the woods, some of them right in the city. There's one very strange episode early on where they end up in this sort of what appears to be a sort of a fight club in the city of Portland, in this underground sub-basement where Rob gets himself beaten up. Apparently, this is a way that people make some money, is allowing themselves to be beaten up, beaten senseless in this awful fight club. And that's where the blood and scars all over Rob's face come from for the rest of the movie. But most of the movie is not quite that strange or almost surreal. Most of it is just this hunt for the pig. And along the way, we get all sorts of backstory. And we find out various things about Rob's past and about his presence. The main reason to watch this movie is a mildly interesting story, I think, and we ultimately do find out what happened to the pig. But mainly, it is, you look at it for the performance by Nicolas Cage. I also want to mention that the soundtrack is really interesting. There's a lot of interesting music on the soundtrack, a lot of it classical music, which is unusual in a movie of this type, I think. And there's also some wonderful old rock and roll on the soundtrack, and that really caught my attention some of the way, even though it's very much in the background, very interesting movie soundtrack and music track. So Pig, it's a mixed bag of a movie. It didn't fascinate me. It didn't move me emotionally all that much. And after a while, I sort of got tired of it. But Nicolas Cage's performance is quite remarkable. And at least in the early scenes, there are some lovely performances by a pig. And you get to see him do some pig things. And if you like animals, okay, add a star for that. Our final movie today, Jill, is called Old, and this is the new movie from M. Night Shyamalan, whose specialty is horror movies. And Old, O-L-D, that's the title, and by the way, it's doing very well at the box office, I think to everybody's surprise, is exactly the kind of movie that Shyamalan really likes to make, which is to say, it is a totally backloaded suspense and horror story. It's very much the movie that put Shyamalan on the map in the late 90s was a movie called The Sixth Sense, where everything in that movie is explained by the last few minutes. And after you've seen the last few minutes of The Sixth Sense, everything in the earlier part of the movie, for the previous about 2 hours, is suddenly different and makes sense in a whole different kind of way. The same thing with some other Shyamalan movies. For example, The Village is very much that way as well. So you're watching all these mysterious things happen, and finally at the end, something happens, and then everything is explained. So, okay, that's really the way Old works. Again, a very backloaded movie. Don't leave early, or you'll never find out what's been going on. So, here's the setup. We have a bunch of people, a very nice family. Gail Garcia Bernal is the father, and anyway, they're just a very, very nice family. And they go to this very splendid beach resort, and we find out that the Bernal character and his wife, played by Vicky Creeps, are having some marital difficulties, and they're hoping that this will maybe be a nice last little time they can spend together before they maybe split up, and she's having some health problems. And we get all this sort of backstory at the beginning of the movie. Then the manager, the director of this resort, says he's going to take them out to a very nice place on the beach where not all the guests get to go. It's a very special part of the beach. It's sort of a little bit away from things. You have to go there on a bus, but once they get there, it's going to be really, really lovely, and it's only for them, only for their little family. So they and their kids get on the bus, and then they find out there are some other people getting on the bus too, so it's not only for them and their family. And the next thing you know, there's a few people on this bus. There's an old woman, there's a few middle-aged characters, there's a few children, and they all get taken out to this deserted beach, which is absolutely lovely. And the next thing you know, they start to suspect maybe they're trapped there. Maybe they're not going to be able to get away there. The driver of the little bus, played by Shyamalan himself, by the way, has said he'll be back to pick them up, or they can always call him on their cell phones if they want to come back earlier. But then it turns out there's no cell phone signal, and there's no sign of the driver, and there they are. And then really strange things start happening, because this is a Shyamalan movie, which means it's a horror movie and a suspense movie. So, yes, strange behaviors start taking place. Strange health problems start acting up. People appear to be aging in a very peculiar way. The children, who were little children and therefore quite short, all of a sudden are getting taller and larger and turning into adolescents before our very eyes. What is going on here? Everybody is wondering. One of the characters has a very small tumor, which suddenly grows into a very huge tumor in almost no time at all. So time is operating in strange ways. Aging and health problems are developing in strange ways, and all this is going on. Nobody understands why, and tensions start to build. People start dying in one way or another, and the action escalates from there. And then, as I suggested earlier, in the last few minutes of the movie, all this is explained to us, and it's literally explained to us. There's a character who's introduced rather like the psychiatrist character at the end of Hitchcock's Psycho, who just comes onto the screen and just explains everything to some of the other characters, and we get the explanation as well, and we get to figure out exactly why all this stuff has been going on. So this is the kind of thing that Shyamalan loves to do. It's very artificial, it's very tricky, and it's kind of fun to watch. The movie is interestingly filmed, not as interestingly as some of Shyamalan's other movies, but it's interestingly filmed. Cinematically, it has some interest. The performances are good, the story is suspenseful, and once you finally figure out what's been going on at the end, you say, oh, that's what's been going on all along. Okay, that's interesting, and then you go home. It's not a memorable movie, it's not a great movie, but it's a movie that's sort of fun to watch if you like horror movies. It's not too terribly gory, so, you know, for anybody who wants a sort of a semi-mild horror film, I can recommend Old. And certainly you don't run across titles like Old very often. For that reason alone, I will be remembering it for a while. And that is my somewhat horrific story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Never Gonna Snow Again, Pig, and Old.